There we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker show, and you coming along writing to us at MyNorthWest.com. Although Andrew says, you can also text us at 1-888-973-5476. That is the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. All welcome. And, of course, if you really want to follow along in the hijinks of the show, Sherry, that's the John and Sherry show on Instagram. Sherry spelled S-H.
Geez.
Okay, and no flexions. S-H-A-R-I. Sherry. Diving into the news. All right. So it was November 30th, 2021, a mass shooting. This is an Oxford high school. This kid goes in there. Ethan Robert Crumley, he was 15 years old. He had a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, murdered four students, injured seven. They then arrested him. He's been charged. He will spend the rest of his life in jail. It's not the end of the story, though, because the other part of it is the fact that his parents then were standing trial. Now, this isn't the first time a parent has been held responsible for the child's behavior, but they both parents now will be going off to jail with 10 to 15 years or something they're being sentenced with. The parents that had lost their kids to this kid's actions spoke about the parents did not seem remorseful, just a series of excuses. Why did the father buy a gun for his son, even though his son was had all sorts of problems, mental problems, was drawing pictures of kids who wanted to shoot him? I mean, all the red flags were there, and the parents ignored all of them along the way. And then this is the sentencing from the judge.
With regard to Jennifer Crumley, it is the sentence of this court, Ms. Crumley, that you serve 10 to 15 years with the Michigan Department of Corrections. You and your agents may not have any contact with the families of Madison Baldwin, Tate Meir, Hannah St. Juliana, and Justin Schilling. I will issue another ruling with regard to contact with your son, the shooter. As to defendant James Crumley, it is the sentence of this court that you serve 10 to 15 years with the Michigan Department of Corrections, that you or your agents have no contact with the families of Madison Baldwin, Tate Meir, Hannah St. Juliana, and Justin Schilling. Ms. Wheeler, have I left anything out with regard to sentencing? Thank you.
The question comes up to, at what point is the parent responsible for the child's behavior? At what point does the child, acting on its own accord and responsible for its own actions, because you could drag a lot of stuff back to the parents and how they raised the kid and what the home was like and all this other stuff. But, you know, there's that very thin line that all of a sudden that small ribbon that connects the parent to the child then becomes its own, you know, instrument onto the world. In this case, I guess they felt that the parents were just callous and had complete disregard for all the signs that should have been there, that they should have done something about this kid's behavior.
This is a message probably to parents out there. This is sending, you know, a signal that, listen, you, if your child does something like this, you have the potential to go to jail for it, to go to prison for it. But I'm wondering if it's really going to work that way. I'm wondering if parents are really going to pay attention to this and pay more attention to their kids all of a sudden, just to save their own skin or just to make sure that this doesn't happen to them. I think if you're already in tune with your kids, you probably don't think this is going to apply to you. And for those that don't, they're not going to automatically go, wow, I ought to check his locker. I ought to see what's going on. One interesting thing about this, one of the reasons that they came down on James Crumley is that he had a lot of recorded messages from jail where he talked about the prosecutor, Karen McDonald. And he said, yeah, Karen McDonald, you're going down, you stupid blanks at the jail. Go ahead and record this call. Tell her how James Crumley is going to blanking take her down. He's referring to the prosecutor. So that didn't help.
No, I would say that's probably not the best move.
And they have spent, you know, I guess almost a couple years now or a year or two in jail. So that will go count against, you know, toward their prison time. And then I think they are eligible for parole at some point. But
Here's one for you. It didn't get any play in the news. I think ABC covered it briefly. This 18-year-old kid posing with an ISIS flag He was going to go into a bunch of churches in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He lived in Idaho. The FBI was able to sort of intercede in this thing, and they went undercover. So this kid planned on going to multiple churches, killing as many people as he possibly could, then setting the churches on fire. And the FBI was sort of tracking and found it. The kid subdued his father, handcuffed his dad, and then stole all of his dad's weapons. But then the question comes in, like, okay, how do you not know that your kid has been radicalized? Where do you have the picture of the ISIS flag that he took? Are you completely, absolutely disconnected from your own kid to not know that they're involved in something like this? This happened on, I think, over the weekend. They went in there and caught him.
Did he live with his parents?
I think he did live with his parents. Yeah, pretty sure he lived with his parents at that age.
And I was out at 17. Couldn't get out fast enough.
Oh, yeah, here we go. I'm back to your crazy, miserable life.
Not all parents are good parents. And there are parents out there that are so oblivious because they're consumed by their own personal lives, whatever's going on in their work life or personal life, that if the kid comes home and he's okay and they say, how was school? And the kid says, okay, they may not go the extra mile to really look into extracurricular activities or things that they may be doing online. Not every parent, sadly, is that involved.
I understand that. And we as society, unfortunately, bear the burden of bad parenting. It happens all the time, right? In small little disrespectful ways or, you know, giant actions like murdering other people. That's why as a parent, your prime responsibility is to make sure that you're going to raise a kid that you just hopefully leave the world a better place than the way you found it. And you're instilling values in that kid, because now that kid goes out into the world and hopefully they take what they learned and it was good stuff in that house, and the values of what you tried to teach, they then take that and move forward to make the world, you know, not a worse place because you're a bad parent. And not all bad parenting ends up with some kid with a gun. It's very, very rare. But do you don't think that this will send a shock to parents to be better about watching the activities of their children? I'm sure maybe a few people it'll come to light, but just the fact that they now have this precedent set that the parent will be held responsible. Do you think that's justice? The parent is responsible for the kid's behavior?
In this case, yes, absolutely. I mean, there were so many warning signs, and the parents were just in their own worlds. I mean, it was alleged that the mother had this affair and she kept going to tend to her horses, and the kid reminded them over and over again that he was, I guess, hearing things and all of that. It was neglect. And because of that, you know, maybe it wouldn't have happened if he had gotten the help that he needed. Who knows? I don't see that this is going to be something that parents are going to have an immediate response to, because most parents, if they're already aware that their kid is in trouble or already aware of the fact that the kid has access to these things, they should be taking steps to prevent that. And the other parents that are involved, they realize their kid's probably not going to do anything that's this irrational and this horrible. So I don't know. I mean, I think it sends a message to society that parents will be held accountable for the drastic actions of their children.
I saw some PSAs. They used to run, I think, in the 90s or maybe even 80s. And it was, it's 10 o'clock. Yeah. Do you know where your children are? Remember those spots?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, they had a bunch of different celebrities. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? And it was a way of saying, hey, be responsible. So here in the streets of Seattle, it's 8 o'clock at night. Do you know your kids are out? You're 13, you're 15 year out, older out with guns, robbing and stealing people's cars. Do you know where your kids are? I mean, is the parent responsible for the child? Absolutely. I mean, they are the main sort of buttress, the bulwark that needs to be in place so that you don't send some kid out into the world to terrorize everybody. So there is a responsibility that the parent has. And those old ads, those old PSAs. And it's so weird because you watch them now. They pop up on Instagram every once in a while. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Why did they have to do that? Oh, that's right. Because they realized that you need to be aware of where your kids are.
And I think today's version would be, It's 4 a.m. Do you know where your kids are? Because 10 o'clock seems early now. Will they ever extend this to things with juvenile crime? For instance, if a 13-year-old shoots somebody in a robbery, could the parent then be held responsible based on this precedent now?
Well, there was that kid, like the 4-year-old, that went in and shot his teacher. And I think they came, I think they went after the mom on that one, right?
Yeah. But these are both school things. So I'm just wondering. And these parents, by the way, are going after the school as well. I mean, the parents of the deceased kids are going after the school. But I mean, just think about all the crime that's being committed by young teenagers. Could this extend to the parents?
I don't, certainly not in the state of Washington. You know, when it comes to the truancy laws and stuff like that. So every day the kid is not in school, the parent's supposed to be fined $25, whatever it was. They don't even bother doing that. So they don't enforce that sort of stuff. But, you know, if you grow up in a home with zero values, broken home, that no one's paying any attention to these kids when they come in, and your mom didn't provide any of those things for you. I always go back to a Parent Trust for Washington Children. It's a small nonprofit that does great work, and they try to intercede. They try to teach and break the chain of abuse and teach the values and help parents be better parents. The mom, dad have the kid, they're in the hospital, and if they need some extra help when they get the kid home, they can go to Parent Trust for Washington Children, and they will come in there and help mentor the parents, help teach them different things, how to deal with stress, what the baby's like, and then, you know, how to instill just good values, or at least keep the house from constant chaos. And it's a great organization for that. Oh no, look out.
We're in it and we're behind a cloud. But I still want you to appreciate the darkness that we are experiencing.
The reaction from the eclipse, which none of us out here in the West Coast had a chance to enjoy. This woman, she's a meteorologist. She is just, wow, she's very vocal, Sherry.
And by the way, our temperature has dropped. We're down to 72 degrees. I can even see a blue spot right there. Come on, we've got 4 minutes. The crowd is willing it. Yes! We can see it. Just for a minute, just for a second. But I'll take it. I will take it. Y'all get it. Oh my God, we got it. We got it.
She'll take it just for a minute, screaming with joy. But not to be outdone, how about the NBC meteorologist, Pete Sack.
Oh my gosh, we're almost there.
By the way, if you didn't know that they were watching an eclipse, you'd be like, what? What are you playing on the radio here? So the other lady's groaning with joy. This guy starts to cry.
There it is. It's totality. This is just amazing. I can't believe I'm able to bring this to you. I'm taking my glasses off for a moment. Because you can actually look up and see, we're seeing kind of a diamond effect, but we can see the halo. We can see the corona around the sun. The stars are starting to come out. This is just an amazing sight. I just watch for a moment while I gather myself, because I'm just in awe of the sight that I'm seeing right now.
And we did talk about yesterday about the way that this is something that creates wonder and awe in people. And it's a life-changing experience, because you're in there with all these people, everybody's experiencing it, and it can, I guess, make you cry or scream or both. Can you ever see yourself getting that excited about anything?
No, none of that. None of that. And then obviously they go back to the anchors. Pete is obviously having quite an emotional reaction. Pete, will give you a chance to get your thoughts together and maybe a tissue to wipe away some of those tears. This is certainly something that meteorologists and scientists and just common people throughout the United States have, it's bringing everyone together. You know.
I know. And then he'll come back and say, you know, I'm sorry I got so emotional, but I have to tell you, just to see this thing in person, it was just, I'm sorry.
We're just getting warmed up. Come on, let's go.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, the other lady all crazy. By the way, as a reporter, she obviously showed great bias when she was screaming and yelling about the whole thing. She sort of lost her, you know, her professionalism, Sherry, right in the middle of it there.
The crowd is willing it.
Yeah.
I swear, if you go to McDonald's, you go to McDonald's and get the last hash brown.
Was that her screaming into the mic or the people around her?
I think she screamed.
Yeah.
Joe,
she screamed.
Was it her doing? It was her, right?
There was obviously people around her screaming, but she was leading the charge.
Yeah. Mm. She had lost all of her professionalism there, Sherry.
She did indeed.
Yeah, one time I saw Frank Sinatra in concert, and I just love Frank Sinatra so much. He was in Washington, D.C., and they came to me live. I played a cut because they only let you like record 24 seconds of Frank, and he sang one of my favorite songs, and I threw to the song, and they came back to me, and I was crying.
Oh, but that was nice. Really? I mean, that was a moment of awe for you. No, I think people love that because most people do like Frank Sinatra, and it brings back a whole lot of nostalgia.
I've cried at a concert before. It happens.
I cried at a concert because my boyfriend left me.
Oh, that's right. In the middle of a concert?
Yeah, and I wasn't sure what to do next. So, but I wasn't crying because of the music moved me.
Yeah, Sherry. It's Dr. Dan.
Hi,
do you want to talk
Dan.
About this? You want to take a break and come back and talk? You sound like you're trying to block some of those emotions.
I think I've resolved them, and
I'd like to have you put little Sherry on your knee, and we can talk about why you were left behind and whether or not you've ever gotten over that abandonment. Okay.
Well, I think it's still there.
Let's do that.
You know.
It's still there. What concert was it so Andrew can have the music ready to go?
It was the Pretenders.
Okay. All right. Maybe you were doing some pretending on your own. We can talk about this.
It's entirely possible.
Let's do that. Let's explore that.
Okay. I'll make an appointment. Yes.
No, we're going to do it in the next break after it takes a look at traffic.
Okay.
Okay.
All okay. Right.
Sent me. Bucky's Auto Service Center. It's been around for 185 years. Bucky's Auto Service Center. We have a few little technical difficulties here. Sherry's busy getting ready for Dr. Dan to talk to you. Do you want to do Dr. Dan, or you want to do those other stories? Because I don't want to put you on the spot. I saw that he kind of slipped in here and trying to do some more, doctoring on the show.
Oh no, that's entirely up to you, Dr. Dan, and everyone else. It's I'm happy to discuss the issue, but. We can talk about car insurance, too.
Car insurance. Or are you talking about a bad emotional experience when you went to the Pretenders concert? Golly. It's not fair. This is the Hobson's Choice, right?
Yes. Yep. It was at Meriwether Post
Pavilion.
Open the door
and get Dr. Dan to come in.
Okay.
Yeah, but Dr. Dan will come and get the door open. Sherry?
Hi, Dr. Dan.
Come on in. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Door sound effect was a little late.
I knew you were there. That's okay. I could hear you behind the door.
So let's talk a little bit about you being abandoned at the Pretenders concert when you were a girl.
Yeah, well, I was in college, so I was about, 20 or something, and my friend Sandy had gotten a bunch of tickets to the Pretenders. I didn't want to go. I didn't like the band. I had no interest in going, but, they bought the tickets, and I had to go. So we went to this outdoor concert
the
area.
Band was formed in 1978. Their first self-titled album came out in January of 1980. So I'm aware of the Pretenders and what they're about, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't trying to make you a musicologist. I just wanted to set the stage about the fact that I was not that into them.
I see.
Okay.
So Sandy had the tickets, and you felt pressure from her because she was prettier than you were.
Thank you for assuming that, but no, I don't think that was the problem.
More developed, maybe not the best face, but just sort of,
Okay. Nice legs. Shame about the face. Okay. Yeah. So, she got the tickets and I did feel pressure to go. So we all went together. My boyfriend, and he really wasn't like much of a boyfriend. He was just sort of there, came along and, we had like a couple of beers in the car on the way over there.
Yeah. So alcohol has always been present in a lot of the bad decisions you've made.
It was an outdoor concert and we had a blanket and I was, sitting outside on the blanket and I fell asleep.
Oh, okay. From the alcohol. Possibly.
I was just tired. So I fell asleep on the blanket. And when I woke up, he was gone. Now, there were other people there, but he had left with some other people because he was mad at me for falling asleep.
Yeah. Okay. And where was Sandy?
Sandy was still there. But she was sort of dancing and not paying a lot of attention.
And when you woke up, did you, is this a feeling you've had before where men leave you when you fall asleep?
I've never experienced that before. But, yeah, it was, you know, it was startling. And then I felt like I was responsible. But it was really kind of his bad behavior that, I mean, it really wasn't my fault. I fell asleep. I was tired. And he could have either, I don't know, made sure I was okay or just gotten me up or whatever, but he stormed off with these other guys and that was that.
So this is something that's haunted you for a long time, obviously.
Right? Yeah, I guess it has, because I did cry. I did start to cry because I was disoriented and I felt bad and I did feel rejected and embarrassed.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people that struggle with addiction like you are right now say they fell asleep as a way of quote-unquote giving themselves permission to not use the word passed out.
Not use the word what?
Passed out.
Oh, passed out. No, I was not passed out. I really wasn't. I was bored and I was tired. And yes, there were a couple of beers involved, but it wasn't that. If I was passed out, he would have been probably fine with it, but he knew.
Do you think you've spent the rest of your life looking for this guy to sort of make things right again?
No. I mean, he was back in my dorm room the next day.
Yeah.
Trying to apologize.
You know, at this point, I think we should have talked about car insurance.
I'm sorry. You didn't want the real story? You wanted it to be more exciting?
No, you're blocking all the real things. You're not ready to do the work necessary.
Okay. How about this one? Let's see. I went to a concert, and he got mad at me and left, and I was abandoned, and I had to walk home to my college dorm barefoot in a snowstorm.
Well, it's better. It's sort of the walk of shame, but with, you know, maybe some frostbite. Okay, Sherry, we're out of time.
I know.
Thank God. Okay. So we sent Joe in here. He's going to talk a little bit about the time he got arrested at Disneyland.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I don't like my patients to see each other, so try to either distort your face in a weird way or pull your sweater up. So you don't see Joe on the way out, okay?
Okay, I, here I am. Okay.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to recognize you. Sorry.
Oh, my God. My favorite. Dr. Dan stopping by. I don't know if he's still doing it. Dr. Dan. What's his last name? He's in Philadelphia. WWDB.
Gottlieb or something?
Gottlieb, yeah.
Gottlieb.
Heard it.
Dr.
Move
Dan
on.
Gottlieb. We used to call that show when we were kids. People, how'd you get into radio? Crank calls, always crank calls. My brother, my sister are like, oh, good, he's on. And we'd call up with all sorts of problems. And the game was always to get Dr. Dan to say, can you do me a favor right now? Can you put little Jimmy on your knee? Because if he could say that, then we're like, oh, that was the best. So we'd have all sorts of problems. And then he'd say, could you do me a favor? I'm like, oh, God, score. Because when you had to put little Jimmy on your knee, and then talk to little Jimmy.
That's right? Scary. Yeah, that's when people really get to the good emotions.
That's good. Yeah, when you got your own little person,
your inner child.
As you was a kid, yes. sitting on your knee talking to you, and then you're having a conversation with the with you as a kid. Radio gold.
Yeah.
Is Sherry?
Yeah.
Is little Sherry there?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I don't really access her very much.
Can you push her on your shoulder?
Sure. Okay. Hey, Sherry. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Come here, okay. Little Sherry.
Listen,
I don't
want to.
I don't like you. I don't think she's going to cooperate.
Let's go over to Nate. Have Nate put little Sherry on his knee.
I don't know. I'm scared of him.
Okay, I don't even know what this show's about anymore. Let's talk about auto insurance.
Yeah.
There we go. You're writing to us. That's good and good for you. Teeny Tiny, right over the teeth. Teeny's getting a psychic reading, Sherry.
Oh, potato. Oh.
Talking about potatoes. Okay.
Yeah,
potato in the
nice.
Future. Write to us. MyNorthwest.com, although Andrew says...
I don't know if people use it.
Or you can always text us at the Monkey Zoo Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. Do we have sound on people? These women upset that these guys say this? This is the compliment that's not a compliment. Is there any sound of somebody going on and on and on about this on TikTok or something, Joe? Or is it just going to be Sherry sort of sharing this with everybody?
It's going to be Sherry sharing this with
everybody.
That's
you, Sherry. You do it, baby. Come on.
All right, so this just shows how you can't win with women, all right? Because they're never happy. This woman named Tallulah Rose, not her real name probably, got a 1.8 million likes because she went on a rant about the fact that this compliment that men often give is so clueless. And the compliment is, you're such a natural beauty. And she says she thinks that they're so dumb because they haven't noticed the plastic surgery. For instance, her jawline costs $6,000. Her hair costs $1,300. Her lashes are about $132. She's had Botox. And she doesn't understand why women could notice this about her, but men. So if you did all this stuff to be more beautiful and someone notices and thinks you're a natural beauty, wasn't that the whole objective? Of getting the surgery in the first place. So what do you want people to do? Then everybody weighed in on it. And one woman said, my husband says, you're never, ever going to get Botox. And she said, if I could have raised my eyebrows, I would have. That the only thing he notices is really bright eyeshadow. And another woman said, that men have said to her, you don't wear heavy makeup like the other girls. I'm sure she's 40. And she says that she spends 30 minutes a day applying her makeup.
So do women put on the makeup and do their hair and everything for themselves, for other women, or for men? I guess it depends on where they are in their life, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think it's a habit, first of all. If you're in the habit of putting your makeup on before you go out the door, you're going to do that. You might put a little more on if you're going on a date or something like that. But yeah, but if you don't wear makeup, you're probably not going to start when you're 35. I mean, it's just, it's not going to be something that you regularly do.
And that's a question. I don't think a lot of guys say to some women, oh, you're a natural beauty. Guys don't use that term. That's not something, maybe some rare cases they point that out. And if they don't know that she's had a brow lift or, you know, other work done. Guys pretty much only want to know is one thing natural or not. So, but my father's great line that he was, you are well preserved. That was how he used to compliment women.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Have you seen her? She is well preserved.
In that bottle of formaldehyde.
That, right. What it was. It's like, what does that mean, well preserved?
It means she's old. But that's okay.
You also don't want to know if the person's had work done, right? You don't want to have that like cat look or something, or it's a little stretched back, or the lips are all puffy and inflated. Yeah, it should be really casual. Nick said to me the other day, she goes, oh my God, I can tell I spent too much time here in Clee Ellum. I said, why? She goes, look at me. And I looked at her. She's like, I look rough. I said, where are you going? Going to Safeway. It's like, okay, can you swing by the dollar store, get yourself some makeup, kind of paint yourself up?
Get some colored eyeshadow. It's the only thing I'll notice.
You guys don't notice that stuff.
No, and if they do notice you've had work, you don't have a good plastic surgeon. So
right.
That's
Shouldn't
the thing.
Notice
that's
it.
Why nobody's happy here. I don't know why.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for that.